This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
306 DGS. Just talking to our boss, Steve. He's like, how's the show going? I'm like, sucks. He's like, okay, thanks for your candor.
Like, we'll pull it out. The honesty.
We'll pull it out, but not a great start. So am I, if I become a stick in the mud in my 60-year-old life, the new trend on TikTok is to pretend to faint in front of your pets to see if they'll care or not.
I don't think things like that are right, because your pet doesn't know what's going on, so you're just kind of scaring them for no reason.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok today, which was hilarious, but I felt like it was child abuse. It was people really, really scaring their toddlers.
Yeah.
Like dressing up in devil outfits.
Don't like that.
You know, those kind of things.
Don't. I like, again, I like pranks. I like all that stuff, but not with little kids and not with kids in general.
That could scar you. We're talking like 3-4-year-old kids.
One of the things I hated the most was when Jimmy Kimmel would do the thing where parents lie about eating their kids' Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. You're just being an ass.
Yeah.
You're a jerk if you do that.
Yeah. And then when the kids would react in anger, everyone's like, what a bad kid.
Oh,
but it's like,
good
well,
kid,
you
man.
Stole from them.
Yeah, you told them you stole their stuff. Yeah.
And then the kids who were really good and would just be like, oh, it's okay. I always felt bad for them, too. It's like, aw.
What a nice kid. You're too bad your parents a jerk. Yeah. They're probably going to ruin
How much disappointment are you dealing with on a daily basis? Basis that you just like took that in stride.
Yeah.
It's really upsetting.
The pet one, I think it depends. You have to know your pet, right? Because some pets will freak out at stuff like that. If I do that tonight, I'll go home. My dog's
See, I didn't
care.
Even think about it from the standpoint of it's cruel to the pets. Oh. I'm just thinking that
humans are
so stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid. But if I did
and I
that,
my living was stupid.
If I did that at home tonight, my dogs wouldn't freak out. They'd be like sniffing around like, come on, dude.
I kind of want you to try it.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll video it. They won't do anything. But if there are dogs and pets that are high strung, and if you do that, they might freak out. That's not okay. Don't do that.
I did see one that kind of made me smile, where it's similar, where you pretend to fall asleep while holding a sandwich.
Yeah, that's a good one.
See if the dog
see if they
it.
Take it. Yeah, yeah, my dog.
All the dogs do the same thing. Yeah. They're all, you could, I mean,
slowly
they're like little
inching
people.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can see the agony on their, like the knowing
the
they shouldn't
loyalty.
Do it, but wanting to do it really bad.
Again, I have two dogs. One would not touch it. She would not go near it. She would know that she's not supposed to, and the boy would be as fast as he could. Snap it and gone.
You know one of the dumb things I've started doing? I watch TikTok a lot, like most people out there, and I get a lot of self-helpy things, and if something really strikes me, I'll screenshot it. Or I love the aspens in Colorado right now. They're gold and yellow, and they're beautiful. I'm usually out there in October. This year, I'm not. And I'm getting a lot of those, and I screenshot it. I will never look at those again. I will 100% never look at those again. It's just taking up space in my phone.
I know. I've done this many times where I go back in, like the memory starts to fill up on the phone, and you're like, what can I delete? And you go into your photos, and you're like, oh, my God. Why do I even have this? Like, what is this?
3,000 photos. Is that a lot?
Ooh, yeah, that's a lot.
I have way more than that.
Do you really?
I have like 2,500 photos of my cat alone I discovered the other day because Apple will like divide it up for you.
I have 7,700 photos on my phone.
Oh my.
Ooh, I have 6,400.
Yeah. But I like take a lot of like dumb screenshots to send to like people.
Yeah.
And be like, haha, this is funny. And then I don't delete them afterward like
Same.
I probably should.
I do use it for show prep because I'll see something interesting. I'll screenshot it. Yeah. I go back every day and I write them on the poison pen.
Look at
notebook.
Like the last, you know, 10 pictures.
But then I don't like, delete it because I'm lazy.
Right. Same. That's how I end up with 7,700.
You looking?
Or yeah, I don't think I have anywhere near what you guys do. I think I have maybe 1,900.
What? Are they all
and then like
cat?
200 videos. Yeah, yeah. Heck, I got almost half of them are like stuff from concerts. It's either concerts or pets.
How would Barry that weird you out?
If he had a bunch of pictures of Lucy on his phone?
That would be super weird. Well, my dog's name is Lucy. That's not the weird, but you're Lucy? That would be weird.
I actually wouldn't think it was that weird. because I think Lucy is an exceptionally cute cat.
No, so I think you're weird.
If he wanted pictures of her, I'd be like, I don't blame you.
Yeah, that's weirder adorable. Than him going like, yeah. I have nothing
I hacked your phone, Rach, just to get pictures of Lucy.
I would like it if people had pictures of my pet.
When you left in the studio and I sent them all to me.
Don't blame you. She's cute.
Stairway to Kevin?
Sure. I mean, this is kind of along the lines of what we were just getting into with the cruelty and... you know, people being mean to their kids, right? Except it's kind of the opposite. So I don't remember her name, but there's a TV personality in the UK who is posting on social media that, my 15-year-old son is coming back from his 3-week vacation that he took with his 16-year-old friend, and they went all over Europe, the two of them by themselves. And she got a lot of heat. Like, what's wrong with you? You're letting your 15-year-old go to all these places. They went to Paris and they went to Italy. They took the train because the train in Europe goes everywhere, mm-hmm. right? You can get from anywhere to anywhere via train in Europe. So it's not like going to the airport. It's none of that. And she got all kinds of crap from people that are like, you're a terrible parent. You let your 15-year-old do all these things. And her response was, first of all, if you don't teach them how to do things, they're not going to know how to do things. And there's two of them going around the train, and they're fine. They're coming back. They're done. They did the whole trip. There was no problem. How do we feel about this? Because to me, I was in Paris when I was 15 years old. You know, I was in. Most of the time, you're with a family when you did this exchange program. There was like a 3 or 4 day period where it was just the group of us high school kids, probably 20 of us, and there was one chaperone, as my uncle, Father John. But he wasn't around us. We were alone most of that time because you can't. So if I can do that as a 15-year-old, what's the problem?
I would 100% like it to be okay. I would never do it with my kids. But I would wish for a world where that would be fine. Not just actually fine, but fine from a public opinion standpoint.
I see what you mean. So you're not going to get picked on. Because it is obviously fine. The two teenagers did it.
Yeah.
They went around for 3 weeks. They went to Paris. They went to, I forget, she listed all the places. But it's all the big cities in Europe.
I, unfortunately, for me and my kids, live my life way too much based on worst case scenario catastrophizing.
Right.
And a lot of it is self-indulgent, darkly self-indulgent. I would be if Phoebe said, hey, me and some of my friends, now she's 19. If she has the money to go to Cancun on spring break, she can go. And nothing her mom and I can say about it.
Right.
I mean, we could cut off the KU money, but, you know. but I would never forgive myself if I let my child do something like that and something happened. And no, that's about me.
Yeah, yeah. I totally get it. I'm curious. How you guys see it, Rach and Andrew, being younger and having you're closer to actually being that age yourselves, mm-hmm. because I know even, again, a lot of it's from my age, but even my kid, her friends, they went to spring break when they were in high school. I'm a lot more worried about that.
Yeah.
With thousands of high school kids going to spring break, drinking and partying, I'm a lot more worried about something bad happening in that than if you're just taking a train around doing tourist stuff around big cities.
Yeah.
In Europe, by the way. And I'm not sure how I'd feel about it here, but I think, okay.
You think Europe's safer?
I think it's less of everything.
More accepting?
It's just a little calmer. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, though, because there have been riots in Paris over, what was that? I forget what it was recently, but they've had their own issues.
Someone's never seen Taken.
Yeah, right, right, exactly.
Well, my like knee-jerk reaction was, wow, that's way too young. But then I thought about it for a second, and there are kids younger than that who are allowed to stay at home when mom and dad go on vacation.
Yeah.
So
I
guess it's not that different to let them do a vacation. You know, I mean, if they know how to use the trains, if they've done it before and they know what they're doing, I guess I don't see a huge issue with it.
I mean, I did all of that. Now, again, it was not all by myself, but you had one adult for 20 kids there. And we were free just wandering Paris, just doing whatever we wanted. And that's with no cell phones. This is the late 80s. So no cell phones, no internet. No, nothing like that. And it was totally normal and fine.
So my mom and dad couldn't have given a rat's ass less what I did. I, on the other hand, was way too much of a helicopter parent. What do you think is next? What do you expect our
Great
kids?
Great question.
Like, if our kids have a 15 and a 16-year-old who want to go to Europe, would you expect them to be more lenient or less?
I would expect more just because the technology is there to where you can be monitoring them even if you're not in the same country. You know, it's like,
sure not. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a way to get a hold of them. There's a way to like make sure they're at the hotel they say they're at because you can track their location and stuff. I think people are maybe going to get a little more loosey goosey with as far as like where you physically are because you can still keep tabs.
Yeah. I have a friend who has a college student, Phoebe's age, and she tracks them with an app everywhere they go. We don't do that with Phoebe. Who's the bad parent here?
I don't think there is one. I don't think there's good or bad. I mean, it's a lot about the understanding of your kid. This is what I mean, I say this a lot with coaching stuff because I coach teenagers a lot. And I think it's the same for this trip because I don't think there's a uniform answer for whether or not you should let your 15-year-old go. Some 15-year-olds are fine. Some are not.
Right.
And you need to know your kid and you need to know the difference between your kid and what other kids are and who they're going with is another big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid's really responsible and they're good with money and they're smart and the kid that they're going with is their best friend that you've known for years and they're the same way, that's a different thing. Then if your kid's kind of a goofball and gets in trouble all the time and does stupid things and you've had to punish them for those stupid things, you have to know your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is no blanket answer, which was kind of the point that I wanted to get to with this topic, was all this comes down to, all of these decisions, is knowing your kid. What are they like? What have they done? And you can't know everything. It's not possible. You know it, Dave, and I know it. There are things about my kid that I don't know and may never know. There are things that my parents don't know that I did.
I wonder why I'm so scared about it, because I think Phoebe is more mature for her age. She's partying it up, for sure, and she's making dumb decisions, which you do, right?
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine a situation, no matter how much I believed in her, if she were 15, where I would be okay with her traveling Paris.
Well, I also wonder, so you said this is a European...
So, yeah, they're from London.
I mean, basically. I think there's probably different standards for kids in your... And it's easier to get around. They have these trains that go all over the place. You probably do learn at a pretty young age how to navigate that.
What if it was just like... So the equivalent... And keep in mind that everything in Europe is pretty close, right? Europe is way smaller than the U.S. So this would almost be like... Living in St. Louis and your kid's going to make a trip to Nashville and then maybe stop in Memphis and maybe go to Chicago. Like that kind of range is basically what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Would you end up being okay with that at 15?
It would be better, but I still have such a giant thumb on the side of the scale for safety.
Yeah.
Which I'm not proud of, that I don't think I would.
Yeah. Well, we talk about this all the time. Nobody can control how their brain works.
Yeah.
Your brain works a certain way. And like at 15, I don't think my kid would have been ready for that. She didn't start driving until she was 18. She just didn't want to be adventurous and out there. And I know that now. I'm not sure if I would have totally known that at 15 when she was 15. I might not have been fully like, because I now have another 12 years in the book of knowing what she is and how she's grown and all
now,
that.
All this being said, I think it would be incredible for the kids.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't grow up at all until I graduated law school and went to Europe for a few months with my buddies. And even being grown men, we're 25, 26 years old, but I was 25 going on 13. But I grew up so much during that time because no one cared, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we ran out of food. I ran out of money. We had to watch each other's back when people try to steal our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up so much. Now, I went right back to being immature when I got back. But I think it would be an incredible trip for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys make of the Melania Trump stuff? Have you seen all this? She came out very strongly in support of women's reproductive rights, goes against her husband's policies. She made a video saying, like, yeah, you heard that right. That's exactly what I think. CNN asked her to do an interview, and she said, okay, but you got to give me $250,000.
What?
Yeah, she demanded $250,000.
Yeah, you know,
she's been busy.
I heard them talking about this on cable news all day today. It's funny because I kept going back and forth between CNN in our office and then Fox News in a studio I was using. So I was getting like both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
And both people seem to think, you know, this is pretty strategic to drop something like this at this time to maybe kind of soften people on the fact that Donald Trump does take credit for overturning Roe v. Wade. This is kind of a way to soften people and be like, oh, well, maybe if his wife is pro-choice, it's not that big of a deal. He won't be as hardline on this as maybe we've thought in the past. There was also a woman who was speaking who used to work with Melania or travel with Melania. She wrote a book called like Free, Melania. I'm sorry, I forget her name right now. But she was saying, look, there's no use in trying to parse out what this means as far as like a political statement. Melania Trump does what Melania Trump wants to do. At the end of the day, she's just making the statement that she feels from her heart, and it has nothing to do with politics or her husband or anything. So you can try to analyze her behavior, but at the end of the day, she's just being herself. I thought that was an interesting take. Yeah.
Trump seems just legitimately afraid of her.
Yeah, I mean,
which, I mean, we all get.
I just find it crazy that in politics, the spouse is expected to toe the line everything that the other spouse says, right? So, what's his name? Doug. Doug would not go out, and he would be, it would be a big deal if he went out and contradicted Kamala about something. And it's a big deal that Melania, in normal life, husbands and wives don't always agree on everything. Right?
That's true.
I mean, I think that's pretty much everybody's experience. If you have friends, you don't agree with your friends on everything. If you're a dating couple and not married, you don't agree on everything. Like, that's normal to have differing views on differing things and still be married together, friends, whatever.
It's true.
But yet in politics, we have like, oh my gosh.
I mean, I think ultimately,
she has her own mind.
I think ultimately that's a very juicy tidbit from the book because it does branch away from what her husband says. And it's a great way to sell the book.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That's this is the hot topic today.
That's a good point. It'll sell books better if it's controversial.
If I'm Trump, I'm at least being like, honey, the election's in like 28 days. Like, you couldn't have waited or...
I got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
334 DGS and KMOX. Pretty day out there. A little warmer. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hello there. Yeah, the trend is warmer. Are about the same over the next three more days. Then we cool back down.
Yeah. Again, we do it every year. We just forget.
Up and down.
Yeah, we forget.
You know, I think a lot of folks, when we hit October, think, okay, that's it. It's now fall.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Well, a lot of wishful thinking, too. I mean, it was, it felt like a rough summer. I don't know if it was a rough summer, but we had, when your HVAC units are going out, I can tell you from personal experience, it's a rough summer.
That's right.
When it's
102,
you know. But I think we, and also, let me just blame corporate America. When Walgreens has Halloween decorations up on Labor Day, you know, it's like we do live one season ahead.
Yes. No, at least. Yeah, just, I mean, Christmas is already folding out, right?
Hey, how was, I know the Evolution Fest was great and the weather ended up cooperating. How was your time?
I had a good time. You know, the heavy rain was all on Friday. We had, I think it was a little shy of an inch of rain. It really caused some mud problems behind the main stage, behind the secondary stage. But the field itself, getting into the Evolution Festival, I know a lot of folks were like, oh, look at this. It's kind of muddy. But once you got out on the field where you watched the concerts and took part in the concerts, it was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Good.
About 25,000 people. We can take that.
Very nice. That's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
You want to take us through the weekend?
Yeah. You know, for tomorrow is just like today. Sunny skies, 82. Saturday still looks like the warmest of this little four-day stretch. I still want to call Saturday hot. 87 for the high. 92 is the record. Only 67 for the overnight low on Saturday night. That's kind of warm. Sunday, sunny. 81. There's a cool front coming through about midday on Sunday, and that is really going to knock our temperatures back to where we should be, 70 to 75 degrees Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. It's a dry pattern, not much going on. There are still some interesting signs down in the Gulf of Mexico that something, at least one thing, could be brewing, but that's next week. Let's worry about that next week.
Okay. Very good. Before we do headlines, one of my weird, irrelevant Dave things. I said cookie sheet today, and someone said, "What are you talking about? What's a cookie sheet?"
Baking sheet.
They said, they said, "You're trying to say cooking sheet."
No.
Cookie sheet.
No.
It's a sheet. Cookie sheet.
Okay.
On which you bake cookies.
Okay.
We have your back, love. Yeah. Don't worry.
All right.
It's always been a cookie sheet to me.
Yeah.
Because that's the sheet you use to bake cookies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else are you using it for?
Are we just Hoosiers? Like, are we all?
No. It's a cookie sheet.
You think this group is a bunch of Hoosiers? I don't think so.
I mean, they have them that are officially called that.
Would Dave Murray be vacuuming in the background if he's
No, that's a hedge trimmer going on.
You can buy Dave an officially named product, the Cuisinart cookie sheet.
There you go. Yeah.
So is there a difference between a cookie sheet and a cooking sheet?
Not that I'm aware of. They all look the same.
I don't think a cooking sheet exists.
No, I think that person was wrong.
It was our boss, Becky. I'll tell her that you said that.
Oh, no. Now I've gone and done it.
I got to take it back.
Headlines, Rich?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Wheels, do you know who Sue Bird is?
I do.
She's a WNBA legend.
Yep, one of the greats.
She's speaking out against racist internet trolls. She went on Megan Rapinoe's podcast and was talking about Caitlin Clark. She says, "Racism has been impacting the WNBA well before this year. This is not a new thing. I do think Caitlin's being used as a pawn."
It's weird. The whole thing's been weird because people, and I mean by people, I mean a lot of sports dudes that have never in their lives talked about women's basketball or the WNBA have all kinds of hot takes related to Caitlin Clark. Where's their interest been for the last 20 years?
It is interesting to see. It's like kind of transparent what's
going
on.
Again, for people that don't know, Sue Bird is white. Mm-hmm. Right, so she was a white player in the league, so she's been in the position that Caitlin is in.
Is she saying that Caitlin is being
No. They're saying that she's saying, if I read it correctly, that there are people out there pushing her essentially as the great white hope.
Yeah,
for racist reasons. I don't think it's all that. I think there's a lot of sociological reasons that people are doing it too. A lot of political reasons. You know, she's straight, she's white. Like there's a lot of weirdness going on that just didn't exist before, but I don't even think that's entirely it. I think she's the first of the big star, like big celebrity players coming into the WNBA in the TikTok social media era, and everything blows up now where 20 years ago it would not have, or even 10 years ago wouldn't have blown up the way that it has.
Well, and it's interesting too because she has a look that I think you could maybe a lot of people will classify as like she's innocent looking. So people are like, we have to protect Caitlin Clark.
She doesn't need people's protection.
Yeah, it's like she's 22 years old. She's a professional
Caitlin's
basketball
a
player. She can handle herself.
I don't know that I would call it sexism or misogyny, but I do think
there's a little of that too.
I think that a lot of people, myself included, who never watched women's basketball or hadn't watched it in 10 or 20 years, were surprised at how much it's like the men's game. And I can admit,
that watching
women play like men at first is a little bit jarring.
Yeah, that's the only way I've known it. I had a friend in college who played on the basketball team, the women's basketball team at Miami. They were a top 25 team, and we would play pickup basketball and stuff. And that was like my first lesson where it was like, man, she just elbowed me in the face. Like, they're, you know, like, all right, we're playing. Let's go. Like, but anybody that's a competitive athlete, man or woman, the higher you go, the more it's like that. Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. But I think you're right, Dave. I think a lot of people will see, like, we talked about it at the time. You see these hard fouls against Caitlin, and they're wrong and they're unjust and they should be punished. But that's what happened to Michael Jordan. That's what happens to a lot of young players. LeBron James got the crap beat out of him when he was a 18, 19-year-old rookie because anytime you're the challenger to the powers that be, those powers don't want to be challenged.
All right, Vice President Harris is voicing her support for striking port workers, saying this strike is about fairness. Foreign-owned shipping companies have made record profits and executive compensation has grown. The longshoremen, who play a vital role transporting essential goods across America, deserve a fair share of these record profits.
I'm a union guy. I'm a union member. I support unions. I don't like this union leader. He seems like a weird monkey. Do you see him today yelling at the clouds? He was going off on the Easy Pass system in the toll, and he was going off on self-checkout and the robots are taking over. He's just a very Trumpian weird guy to me.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, man, he's out there.
Oh, you got to check him out.
Yeah.
You really do. I kind of push it towards more of a, more of a mob type leader.
Hmm.
I see him more like that. Is he a little off kilter? Probably, but I just see him a little more like that.
Now, that being said, I don't know what they make. I don't know what they should make. I don't know the details of the deal, obviously. I don't like that we're having this huge strike at the same time that there are millions of people who don't have water and access to a cell phone. But, I mean, it's not my deal.
Yeah, I had seen on Twitter someone posted, and they were obviously being like derogatory towards the striking workers. They were like, these guys are getting paid $142,000 a year, which is an interesting number because that's a lot more money than I make, but I'm sure their job is a lot harder than my job. So it's like, what is fair for them to be?
I don't think it's accurate.
You don't think so?
I've been seeing like 75 is the base.
Okay.
You can make 140 if you do a bunch of overtime or if you're in management or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think any of the dock workers are getting rich.
What I don't understand is like as a nation and as like human beings, when rich guys like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk do something that costs jobs but makes money, like, hey, it's just business. Right. You got to grow the business. Got to please the stockholders. Just business.
Right.
But when a union says we need to make more money to pay our bills.
Ooh, wheels get me fired up.
Oh, you guys want more money, huh? Well, why do you like why do we do this?
Such a good point.
Why are we OK with the big guys who write the laws and the rules to begin with just making more because they can? You know, Bezos can fire 10,000 people because then their bottom line improves. And it's like, well, you know, it's business. That's how business is run.
But if
the longshoremen want a $10,000 a year raise, those greedy jerks, why are they doing this to the country? Like, come on, man, be consistent. It's either okay to ask for more money and use whatever leverage you have to get it, or it's not. It can't be one or the other.
I know that this is the way that deals get done, because one thing I did I don't talk much about was I was a trained mediator, and I had my own mediation company back in the day. And I've seen dozens, if not a couple hundred deals through that lens. And you have to... People need to fight a certain amount. There's this gamesmanship inherently.
Yes. Yeah,
remember when Saturn car company tanked because their whole thing was like, the price is the price. Come on in. No haggling. And people are like, yeah, but I need to haggle a little bit.
Yeah, I want it to be lower than what you say on there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that they all know what the real deal is and what it's going to be. But in the meantime, they're losing $2 billion a day.
Yeah.
But they just... They're afraid that if they say yes to the union, then the union knows that they own them. And the next time in, they'll do it again. And
yeah, and I want to be clear, too. I don't know if the demands being made by the longshoremen are reasonable. I don't know if their tactics are perfectly good. But I know that this is what happens every time. Like, this happens in sports. People get mad because the players want to have whatever it is they're asking for. And people are like, why should you get that? The owners took the risk. There's no risk in being an owner. You know, the owners of a team, they paid $1 billion for a team that's now worth $5 billion 20 years later. Like there's no risk in it. The value doesn't go down, but we always take the side of the billionaire over the millionaire in that. And again, I'm not defending anything about the longshoreman because I don't even know the guy you're talking about. Maybe he's a psycho and the way he's doing this is wrong. But just in general, we seem to accept it when it's from the top down, but we don't like it when it's from the bottom up. But the problem is, the bottom up part, the union negotiators, the only leverage they have is to stop working.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only leverage you have. You don't have anything else. What else can you say to an owner of a business that will help them reach more of an agreement in the middle or come to more to your side aside from that?
Let's do one more story. I'm very excited about this. Pizza Hut is giving away 1 million free personal pan pizzas this month to celebrate National Book Month. To get a free pizza, use the code BOOKIT40 at checkout online or in the app to redeem a free personal pan pizza with an $8 minimum purchase. The reason I like this so much is because I grew up doing the Book It program at Pizza Hut. There was no minimum purchase from what I understand. All you had to do was have your teacher sign off that you read a certain amount of books that month and you get a free personal pan pizza. And I think, didn't they give you like a little medal if you did a certain amount, Andrew? Am I making that up?
I don't recall. I should look for it. If there was, I definitely got it because you better believe if they were offering me free pizza.
I feel like they did that even when I was a kid, but maybe it was report cards or something.
Where you could bring it. It was founded in 1984.
Yeah, see? I'm positive that we did that at some point.
Well, back in the day, we just had to work hard.
We just had to buy our own pizza.
We had to make our own pizza.
We had to grow the wheat and the tomatoes.
I had to walk both ways to my pizza.
I had to milk the cows to make the cheese.
Dave, did you have the weekly reader?
Yes.
Oh, that was magic.
Yeah.
You got to order books and I never read, but it was fun ordering them.
Oh, dude, I mean, I got so many of those.
Yeah.
Or when you had your school book sale.
Bookmobiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now I don't like books.
Wow.
Because I have, wow. They just been replaced by video games.
I hate knowledge. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All righty.
353-DGS on KMOX. Wheeler, ask your gambling question.
All right. So I saw this. This was sent to me, but this is an actual bet that was made, right? So the Detroit Tigers just beat the Astros. They're going to play Cleveland in the division series. So that means they have a 5-game series there. If they win that, a 7-game series against either the Royals or the Yankees, because they're going to play in the other one, and then a 7-game series in the World Series. So there was a person that placed a bet on the Tigers before the playoffs. $1,000 bet at 60,000 to one.
Hmm.
So if they win this bet, they win $600,000. But they're being offered a chance to cash out now. So the $1,000 bet, they could cash out now for $35,000. So you can turn $1,000 into $35,000 guaranteed right now. No more risk the rest of the way. Do you play it for the $600,000 and hope they win the World Series? Or do you just take that cash?
If I hope this makes sense. If I have $600,000 already and I'm doing this for fun, I'm letting it ride.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
If I don't have $35,000,
if you're
I'm
normie.
Taking the cash.
Yeah, I was thinking like it would be pretty financially irresponsible for me to not take the $35,000.
As somebody that has covered gambling in sports for almost 30 years, you take the money. And what I told my buddies, because they're the ones that asked me about this, I said, I'm going to take the $35,000, and then if I really think they're going to do it, I'm going to turn around I'm going to take $5,000 of that and turn that into a new bet at whatever the odds are now.
Because I'm sure they're still pretty good odds.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can turn $1,000 into $35,000 right now with no more risk versus, like, whatever, I don't know, I guess your odds probably now are 10-1 against. You're probably a 10-1 right now going into the division series. Those aren't in your favor. You have a 10% chance, 90% chance of not getting it.
And a lot of it, too, is how bad would you hate it if they won and you took the cash?
But if you turn around and put the extra five, you probably give yourself an extra 50 so you could turn 1,000 into 80,000.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.